I'm preaching one-handed today. Looks like the headset is not quite working. So I'm usually a hands talker, and it makes it hard when I got one strapped to my chin here. I can't move around. I just wanted to point out that what a great demonstration. We've been talking about community now for seven. This would be the eighth week. And what the shepherds say, what a great demonstration of community in itself. Not only are different bodies coming together, as Stefan was talking about, but an opportunity to welcome people, to make them feel like they belong, to take people that are on the fringes, on the margins, that feel lost and forgotten, to bring them in and make them feel like they belong, like they're a part of something. And that's another function of community. But we've been doing, just to catch people up that are like, well, I just came today. I don't know what you're talking about. For the last 7 weeks, we've been talking about different aspects of community. We've had different preachers coming in. Today, I'm the guest preacher. Stefan's been one of the preachers. And we've been discussing different aspects of community. And the foundation for this was James Bryan Smith's book, The Good and Beautiful Community. And so we've kind of followed that. And each sermon so far has been kind of based on a chapter until now. And so today we're going to kind of look at where did we come from? And why is it such a big deal? And why is it so important? And I thought, well, for Renovation Vineyard, I don't know all of the history, but I know that I heard some people were getting together at one time. And then the next thing I knew, I wasn't living in the area at the time, we'd moved away. Next thing I knew, there was this little church over there on 17, a little building that I was like, they have a church in there? I couldn't believe it. And I heard there was a lot of people going there. And I was like, I guess they have church in there. And then a sign popped up and it said Renovation Church. And I was like, sure enough, they're having a church in there. And then one day, I heard they had a lot of people going, and I saw a couple of pictures. Then one day, I was driving down, for some reason, I think I was coming in town, we were living out of town, I was coming in town, and it happened to be like right as church was going on Sunday morning, and I saw cars everywhere, and I was like, there's no way all those people in those cars fit in that little tiny building. I'm like, that building's bigger on the inside than it looks on the outside. It's like, that's like the clown car of churches. I couldn't believe that many people fit in there. And sure enough, that's what came out is, hey, yeah, we barely fit in there. We really did some fellowship. We really had some tight community, almost too tight. And so the next thing you know, this building comes open. And I came into here. First time I came in here, I was like, a warehouse? And I was like, oh, this is actually really cool. I like this. And so you've been on this journey of being in community. It's been, 10 years now. And, you know, there's been ups and downs and things have happened. But in general, things were heading in a certain trajectory and you're a group of people. And then, you know, gathered for the Lord. And then Florence happened. And Florence was just more than a lot of people could handle. Not here in the church, but here in the town, here in the city, here in the county, it was devastating. And the church went to work to see what they could do to help these people that were devastated, whose houses were literally underwater, and there was destruction going on. But in the end, it seemed to be that it was more than we could handle. And for those of you that are familiar with the old saying, God will never give you more than you can handle. I hate to burst your bubble, but even Paul says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. And so this wonderful community found itself in a bit of a tailspin. And it was hard. And things hurt. And people hurt. But I want to tell you that even in the midst of those times, of those dark places, God is at work. God is working. He's working in us individually. He's working in us as a community. And it reminded me of something. One of my favorite sites is in Aspen Grove. And I think we have a picture of that. It's magical, isn't it? When you hike in Colorado, you just run into these groves like this on the lower parts of a mountain. You're going up a 14er, and you run into these things, and that's what it looks like. And you walk through there, and you're like, this is a fairy tale. It's a beautiful thing. But the wonderful thing, a cool thing about an aspen grove is that it's all one organism. It's not a bunch of trees. It's all one organism. They share a root system. You can plant some from seed, but what you'll find will happen is those have popped up from a root through the ground. And they form these beautiful groves and these oases almost. But the main life force is what's underground. It's this root system underground. And I used to love to take a break on the way back down the mountain. Let's stop in the grove and break there and just relax. And I thought about, you know, what would make that place more magical? As the breeze throws through the trees, and you think, sometimes I used to like to lay on the couch and listen to the wind chimes just gently blow off the back porch. And these wind chimes, they, as the wind blows through them, they are made of different tones, and they have a certain harmony. And they some are a tinkling sound, and some are more of a hollowish sound, but they all have this sound that comes together. And I was like, man, that would be kind of magical, laying in an aspen grove, listening to some chimes in the wind. And that's kind of how we are. The wind of the Spirit blows through our community, and each one of us has our own particular tone, our own particular sound, and our gift. It's beautiful, it's harmonious, it's peaceful, and it draws those from the outside to want to be a part of that beautiful thing that's going on. But sometimes, like what happened here, if you find them in a storm, they become a racket, and it becomes chaotic, and they get bound, and you have to go back out, and you have to fix them and straighten them so that they can blow again as the wind of the Spirit blows through them. And so we've been talking about community, and so every community, every believer grows. And if you'll notice, those are all capital letters. And that's probably the first time I have ever used an acronym in a message. There you go, for you guys. I have never done this before in my life. GROWS actually stands for something. And it's the elements of what we've been talking about for the past 7 weeks. G is for gives. R is for reconciles. O is for offers encouragement. W is for worships. And S is for serves. In every community, every believer grows. We go through these processes. And we look back. We look at the gives part, at giving. We just heard from Stefan in Acts 20:35. He says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He said that giving helps us release control and anxiety and unleashes a bit of trust in God in us. And it helps us commit to the advancement of God's kingdom. We give to the advancement of his kingdom, and we get aligned with the purposes of God. And the R, the reconciles, we talked about walking, how Jesus forgives and reconciles, and that we can walk in both of those, not only in forgiveness towards people that have done something to us, but actually binding the relationship, repairing the relationship, walking in a reconciliation to one another. Because when we live this tightly, when we live in community, almost family-like, sometimes we need to do that so that we can continue to walk together. Oh, offers encouragement. Megan Townsend came and shared with us about encouragement. She says, an encouraging community reminds each other of who we are. It shows us what we can become and is unafraid to hold us accountable. Which, amazing points. I didn't get to hear it, but when she sent me the notes on it, I thought, wow, it's amazing. And she said, she talked about being an encouraging community means we get to cheer each other on while also pointing out and stepping into areas of growth together, which is a beautiful thing. And that requires some letting down of walls and being open to intimacy and being open to others and having trust in our relationships. And then Doug Norman, just last week, right? Yeah, he came in and he talked about worship, how we find acceptance, hope, and restoration. And he used Psalm 84. And then without even knowing it, Chip brings in the song, My Heart and Flesh Cries Out for You, the Living God. What's the chorus on it? I'm blanking on it now. Anybody? Matt Redman's song that he sang last week? No. Here, I'll just... Oh, Better Is One Day in Your Courts. It's at the end of the psalm. I knew I just had to scroll down to the end of the psalm so I could see. But it says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King, my God. Just words of exaltation and worship. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah. For better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And I thought, and some of y'all thought that was coordinated, but Chip had no idea. Chip hasn't sung that song in probably years, he said, and he decided to fit it in just because he liked the way it went. And then here's Doug Norman preaching on that very same thing. Better is one day in your courts. And we heard early on, go way back to week two, I think this was, it serves. Lauren came in and talked to us about serving. And John 13, 1 through 5, where Jesus washes his disciples' feet was her scripture passage. And she said, we want to serve folks because we want them to experience God's love so that they feel valued, important, wanted, and loved. Exactly what the shepherd's table is doing, right? They looked at how to have access to and figure out how our resources, the resources we know we have access to, how they can be used to serve others. And finding a consistent place to serve, either in the church or outside the walls or both, because we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. That's what we are. And so we could apply this GROWS acronym to a community in several different ways. And the first one is up there. A community grows individually. We go through all of these things. The Lord teaches these things. We learn these things and as we grow as believers about giving, about serving. We learn about worship, being an encouragement to others, reconciling. Sometimes the Lord has to lead us through some deep healing in our own lives. And so we walk through this and we learn this individually. And as we grow, there's a quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer from Life Together. He says this, the person who loves their dream of community will destroy community, but the person who loves those around them will create community. And so as individuals, we begin to rub against others and we begin to learn how to love the person next to them, and a community then grows together, which is our second point. If we look at John 17, this is hearkening back to Stefan's message as well on unity. 17:20 says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the Lord, so that the world will know you sent me and love them as you loved me. And the amount of times that it says one and you and me and we and them in that short passage in those, you know, in those three verses is amazing. And coming into the unity. And as I, you know, we talked about this a little bit. I talked about this with Andy and a couple of the others. And if we were looking for a simple vision of what community might look like here at Renovation, we could probably sum it up like this. We're one in him, and we're one with each other. It's basic. All of these components go in to achieving that. We grow. All of that growing goes into coming to this place where we're one in him and one with each other, just as Jesus said that he desired to see, just as Jesus prayed that he desired it. But in the long run, why does any of this matter? Like, that we're holding it together, that we're coming together, that we're growing deeper. I would just ask the question, who in here did it matter to when you ran into Renovation? Raise a hand. Who was thankful when they ran into Renovation? Was there anybody in here that this was like a lifeline to you, for you, for just for you personally, emotionally, or for your spiritual life, and you ran into here and you said, that was me. I'm thankful this place was here because I was struggling. I needed this community. That's why all of this matters. That's why the unity matters. That they will know that you love me and I love them as you love me. And this is our last point. Community grows the kingdom. Just as you found Renovation Church, just as you came into it, just as those homeless people eating at the shepherd's table, they ran into the kingdom because a community of people expanded the kingdom. They gave. They offered encouragement. They're in reconciliation, and the spirit of worship led them to serve, to go out and give. And because of that, there are some homeless people who encountered the kingdom and felt like they belonged for the first time probably ever. Just one example. Some people sitting in here might say that I had that experience and might not want to raise their hand, but they might say it had been a long time since I felt like I belonged until I came here. And so I wanted to, the chimes. Who has the chimes? The actual bucket of chimes. Don't we have a bucket of chimes? Or no? Not yet, apparently. Okay. Well, we don't actually need them in our hand. I was just going to go for them now. And see, chimes. We're all going to get a set of chimes to take with us that we can decorate, that we can do whatever we want with them. But the point is they're a reminder that together we make a pleasant sound. As Holy Spirit blows, the wind of the Spirit blows through the community that makes a pleasant sound. When we work together with people, it makes a pleasant sound. It makes an inviting sound, and it magnifies the love of Jesus as it reverberates out from here in this one place. And so as Renovation Vineyard Church, as we are one in him and one with each other, I think we can take this last 7 weeks and grab a hold of these things and move forward, because there are things happening. There are things stirring. Things are coming together. And I know that you get tired, and it's been a long road going on almost a year, really. But things are happening. Good things are coming. And as we lean into one another and as we lean into him, we'll make it. We'll make it there. So I just want to pray for you, because you are the ones, all of you in here, that have walked this road. And I just want to take a second to pray for you and bless you. Father, I thank you for this amazing group of people here, that they don't even know it. Some of us here in this room, we've not even had a chance to stop and look back and see what you've done in us. We've not even been in a mental space to where we can just sit and look back and see the growth that has taken place under the ground, that root system that has grown deeper and grown stronger, that allows for the grove to expand. We've just had to kind of shut it all off and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And Father, I ask that you would just awaken those people right now. I speak life over them. I speak life over these individuals, each person here. We thank you for your joy being a part of our daily lives as we worship, that your joy falls out on us. Your joy comes from inside of us as we look forward in anticipation to the future. Lord, we thank you for vision. We thank you for growth. We thank you for that, Lord, for this community, for one another, for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.